Our text is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and verses 36 through 43. Another parable Christ put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Christ left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' Christ answered, 'He who sows the good seed in the Son is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evil doers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Shall we pray? O Lord, make us have everlasting love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." In every generation, in every century, there are people who appear to be more religious than God. Throughout the eons, there have been people so pious, so holier than thou, and so pure that they have an odor or stench which can be smelled a block away. Encountered any such creatures lately? Those people intentionally make us feel somewhat like our faith is no good, or it's not quite up to par, which gives us inevitably an inferiority spiritual complex. It is a facade which forms a smokescreen to cover their own hypocrisy, which emanates an illusion of ultra-responsibility. George Bernard Shaw, and you may have heard this quote, once said in his tongue-in-cheek manner, "Those who seem to be the most respectable usually have the most to hide." The people who were the ancient equivalent of the Puritans of Christ's day were called Pharisees. To clarify something about them, not all Pharisees were enemies of our Lord. When the rascal contingent of them prayed, their voices intoned great reverence as they spoke of God. Their entire bodies were choreographed perfectly with hand and facial movements prepared in pristine and precise coordination. It reminds me of the time when I was attending St. Mary the Virgin Episcopal Church in New York City, otherwise known as Smoky Mary's because of the incense they use. The entire staff of priests came out in such chorus line order, it was amazingly breathtaking, and it was probably because, and maybe, the priests had formerly been around the corner, because around the corner from the church is Broadway. So it was really an astounding experience to be there in that church to see what was going on. And by the way, churches in New York City are not air conditioned. The Pharisees resonated to glow as if the burning bush of Moses' day was about ready to consume them. Such devoutness must be commended. Socially, the Pharisees only associated with the so-called better people. For example, the best pews are reserved for people of the upper social class strata with similar religious mindsets of the Pharisees. The lower class critters were weeded out because they were worthless sinners. This was the fly in the ointment between the Pharisees and Jesus Christ. To the Pharisees, those disciples of Jesus Christ were the riffraff of society. Quite a motley crew as a reflection of that prophet from Galilee. So one day, Christ told the self-righteous Pharisees a story about a farmer and his wheat, as was read earlier. The honest farmer had an unethical and literally a nasty neighbor. He was a crook. This neighbor sneaked into the farmer's wheat field and planted weeds, of all things. The dirty rascal used a variety of weeds, which had the appearance of wheat once it was grown. Several months later, near harvest time, the crop was a mixture of wheat and weeds. Intelligent observation prevailed, and this tainted crop was sifted of its unwanted intruder. The weeds would be pulled, bundled, and set afire. Then the wheat could be harvested. So when Christ concluded with this parable or riddle, he said to the Pharisees in so many words, "Get it?" No, they hadn't gotten it. The disciples sought to understand this perplexing riddle. It basically revealed the final judgment of the good and bad. We are all keenly aware that it is currently considered politically incorrect to preach about the final judgment and a hot hell. For certain people, the reality of a final judgment where a person is judged to end up either in a cool heaven or a hotter hell is considered a far-fetched fairy tale on the same level as Mother Goose and the Flat Earth Theory. The worldview then and now of what is acceptable is totally different. We hear today about heaven and eternal life, but not much stuff about hell, fire, and damnation. This is one of those unpleasant sections of the Bible, but like it or not, it is there. This reminds me about the 2nd century heretic Marcion. As with any good heretic, he had a pair of scissors, snipped away those portions of the scripture which offended him for one reason or another. Thomas Jefferson did likewise in the 18th century so as to remove the miraculous out of the New Testament. Today's church is full of Marcionites, but to think about it, and be honest, we are all Marcionites to a certain degree. We seek to eliminate sections of the Bible which are found unsuitable or objectionable, but instead of scissors, we ignore them. Interesting that we all actually have our own versions of the Bible. It's what we prefer in verses to read and forget about the rest. The only passages today, in many ways, which survive is a cool heaven and a lovely God for all eternity. At the heart of the text about the wheat and the weeds, Christ plainly tells us that there is a final judgment and a final separation of the good from the bad. Actually, the final judgment could be the elixir, which is the motivation to live lives pleasing to God. So how do we know we are living our lives, that our lives are pleasing to God? That is a personal issue between each of us and God. God is the final judge in the end, not us. Remember that. We are not elected to be judges, just servants of God. It may surprise some people one day in heaven when they see those souls they thought, well, they didn't think they were going to make it to heaven, but they did. Before we pass judgment, let's be careful, because that is invading God's domain. God is the final judge, not us. This was the fatal mistake of the Pharisees. They felt entitlement to make judgment calls about other people. Christ was against this sort of behavior, and he told them so. Guess what? It cost Christ his life because self-righteousness and legalism nailed him to the cross. All churches have their wheat people and their weed people. Which category do you fall under? Remember this again. Some people are so religious, and I didn't say spiritual, I said they are so religious that they're more religious and righteous than God, or think they are in their minds. Ostentatiously pious, pure, and boastfully humble or meek. That term meek reminds me of the character in Charles Dickens' book, David Copperfield, Uriah Heep, who would wring his hands and say, I'm such a meek and humble person, and he was a shiftless, no good person character in the book. You should read it sometime. It's a fabulous book. But these people can have attributes of stalking and accusing and judging others who aren't living up to their blue nose standards. They have almost a built-in inquisition. Nothing will please them except their own standards. The good news for all, it isn't necessarily God's standards. Remember that when you hear people consider looking at things with rules and regulations, stipulations, everything's got to have every I dotted and every T crossed. That is not necessarily God's way of doing things. God is not an ogre. You've heard me use that term before. As the listeners of this parable 2,000 years ago departed at the conclusion of Christ's message and parable, they went home and thought about these things. Let us do likewise. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God, thank you for being God and not one of us. So many times we tend to judge others unfairly. We tend to put them in their place. We pray, O God, forgive us when we try to take your place in all things. Let us be your servants, and let us follow you humbly, and let us be sincere in our faith always. May we never denigrate or humiliate or dehumanize our fellow men and women in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be the person of faith you desire us to be, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us affirm our faith as we always do in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Creed today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God bless each and every one this day.